Verse number 7 through verse number 12. I will read the first verse, you join me on the second, and so on. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse number 7 through verse number 12. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. Our text verse tonight is verse number 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts can't help but praise You for what You've done the last 6 weeks of this campaign. Lord, there's no telling how many thousands of people have been kept out of hell because we've worked hard and had a special time of the year here in the fall, a special push to help our communities and reach our area with the gospel. Now, Lord, as we come to the Sunday night that ends it all, Lord, we thank You for today. What a day, the auditorium full, people being baptized and people obeying You. Lord, I pray that You please help us tonight as we listen to receive something that would make us even a better Christian because we came to church tonight. Please be with our preacher. Empower him. Thank You for what You've done today. Thank You for what You're about to do tonight. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, somebody shout amen. Well, amen. Wow. Well, hey, visitors, don't be upset with us. We're not shouting because of a football team. We're shouting because of Jesus. We'll talk to you tonight about the subject, and you're tired. I know you're tired. It's been a long week, and you've worked hard and labored, and so I'm going I'm not gonna be like Paul in these verses. I'm not gonna be long preaching tonight. So I want you to listen carefully. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of the danger of falling asleep in church. The danger of falling asleep in church. It happened in our story tonight, Acts chapter 20. I want you to listen carefully as we talk about it. Now, I've got to get this message in and delivered before some of you sleeping beauties go off, because I don't want you to miss this. So we'll dedicate this to two or three people. But the danger of falling asleep in church, and let's pray. Now, Father, help me to help the people tonight with this wonderful truth from the Bible. Now, it's not an earth-shattering truth. It's not probably won't be one of the most dynamic messages ever preached here. But it is a truth. And so I ask you to help me to help the people tonight, please. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You for the Word of God. And now, Holy Spirit, please meet with us, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Everybody find a seat. Everybody sit down. And balcony, everybody look this way. Lower floor, everybody just sit still. No one walking in or walking out. And everybody, ushers, everybody find your seat. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of the danger of falling asleep in church. In Acts chapter 20, we find Paul traveling up and down about Macedonia, Greece, and Asia. And finally, he comes to a city called Troas. Now, Paul, please don't talk. Take the baby out now, immediately. Let's bow our heads, please. Ushers, I'm not going to compete with the baby. We have nurseries and wonderful nurseries, so please take the child if you would. Now, Father, help me tonight to help the folks. The people have got to hear the message. And so, Father, please, we ask you to bless, help us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'll start over. If I have to keep starting over, we'll never will get out of here. In Acts chapter 20, we find Paul traveling up and down about Macedonia, Greece, and Asia, and finally coming to Troas. Now, Paul had been at Ephesus longer than he had been at any other place. And before he... Put your pen up. Put your pens up. Look this way. Look at me. Put your pen down and look at me. Before he left Ephesus, he wrote 1 Corinthians. His visiting of the Greek churches which he had planted was very dear to him. He went first to Macedonia, and then he visited the churches at Philippi, then he visited the churches at Thessalonica, and the Bible says he gave them much exhortation. Now Paul had his heart was in the works that was going on there. He planted them, and his heart was with the people. And much, he had much on his mind. The Bible says he gave much exhortation. He had a lot on his mind and a great deal to say. Now, he stayed 3 months in Greece, and then he purposed to go to Corinth. And Paul, when he was about to sail into Syria and into Antioch, he changed his mind because he'd heard that there were some threats on his life, and returned to Macedonia. Young Timothy was with Paul when he was at Ephesus. But when he left Ephesus, he left Timothy there. And Paul attracted a lot of young preachers. And young Timothy later followed Paul. And also the Bible tells us that Luke had joined him. And this was the first time that we find Luke in Paul's presence. And those with Paul had gathered together and went ahead to Troas. The Bible says Luke came to Troas by sea in 5 days. It took him 5 days to get there so that he could be at the service on this Sunday morning. I want you to get the picture now. All of these men, these young men, had traveled great distances just to be in one Sunday service. Please listen. In one Sunday service with the Apostle Paul. And they'd made plans. It had, by the way, when we were in the Philippines, there were some men who took them 20 days to get to Manila to hear Dr. Hiles in Manila. 20 days, Brother Bowen. Some of those people came by boat and walked, and 20 days, can you imagine, to hear Dr. Jack Hiles. Now, I don't blame them. It's worth every bit of it. And so here we find these men are really excited about this veteran preacher and his preaching. And so they go ahead to Troas, and this great company of young men, not a great company of young men, but great in the sense of what they were going to do with their lives. Just a handful. But they wanted to hear Paul preach. And so here they are, they went ahead to meet Paul. And when Paul arrived, they all came together. And the Bible says, on the first day of the week. Now let me just settle an issue here, right here. The New Testament church met on the first day of the week. Anybody that's ever involved in the Seventh-day Adventist theology is always wacky on salvation. And always wacky on some other doctrine. Now you listen to me. The New Testament church met on the first day of the week. And that's not all. They met on Sunday night of the first day of the week. And that's not all. They met on Wednesday night, the New Testament church did. And that's not all. When they had a fundamentalist conference, they came back on Monday night, Tuesday night too. So Paul arrived, and they all came together on the first day of the week, called the Lord's Day, according to Revelation 1:10. And again, I'll say the New Testament church has always met on Sunday morning and Sunday night. The first day of the week has always been that day that the New Testament church has set aside to gather again. Now let me say this. It's not a holy day. Not a holy day at all. There's no such thing as a holy day. All of them were nailed on Calvary. Colossians chapter 2. Read it for yourself. So it's not, today's not a holy day. Now my mama thought it was. My mama wouldn't let any of us play ball on Sunday. Couldn't pick up a baseball. Couldn't hold a baseball glove. She said it was holy. Now, she was wrong, but don't tell her I said so. It's not a holy day. It's every day's a holy day. Listen, no one day any more. By the way, you folks who claim that the Sabbath is the holy day, then it has to be the Sabbath that is in line within Palestine. Because in Palestine, you got to go by, that was given to one nation, nation Israel. So you're holding it at the wrong time. You need to be holding it starting 6 o'clock on Thursday night in order to be able to match what goes on in Palestine. That didn't cost you a thing, and there's other things I could say about it. Now, there hasn't been a church that has, in these a church building for the first 200 years of church history. And so where they met in a private house. So here they are. It's the first day of the week. Get the picture. It's Sunday. Get the picture. There were some young men of God that traveled many miles to hear this Apostle Paul. And by the way, you would too. And you're going to hear an Apostle Paul Monday night, Tuesday night. So they traveled. It's the first day. It's Sunday. So they get into this house to hear the Apostle Paul preach. The Bible says they broke bread. I don't know if that means they took the Lord's Supper. I don't know what that means. It may mean that. It may mean they brought some chicken and biscuits and had chicken and biscuits and thickened gravy. It may mean that. I'd much prefer that. Think that's what it meant. But the Bible says Paul preached a long sermon. Now, it's bad when God says it's long. God Himself said it was a long sermon. Now, he preached, the Bible says, until midnight. Now, the reason he did was because he had a lot on his mind. And the reason I'm going to preach a long time now is because I've got some things I want to get off my chest, too. But he preached a long time. Now, there was a man there named Eutychus. Now, I've laughed about that name ever since I've read that name. Here's a fellow in the third loft at a windowsill, and he fell out, fell down, and somebody said he cussed. And then somebody else said, well, you'd have cussed too if you'd have fell out of the window. But here's Eutychus. That may not be the way we pronounce the name, but it sure does sound good, though. But he didn't sit with the others. As the others sat around the feet of the Apostle Paul, he didn't sit with them. He sat away from the men. He sat in a windowsill on the third loft where all the lights were. You can imagine if there was some way to get up close to where these lights are and there were people down here listening to the preaching. That guy got up where the lights were, got as far away from the crowd as he could. Now, let me give you several thoughts. Number one, he sat in a dangerous place. Now, here he sat in a third loft on a windowsill. Now, I don't know about you, and I was born in Arkansas, so that's one against me. But I can't imagine don't nod your head up now. I can't imagine sitting in a windowsill on the third loft, Brother Bowen, to get away from the folks that were close to the preacher. And so because he did that, he sat in a dangerous place. Now, you listen to what I'm about to say. Brother, you don't need to get far away from the preacher and the preaching. You need to get close to the preacher. Now somebody say amen. You folks tonight that think you're better and you don't need the preaching, bless God, you need the preaching. Now, understand, he sat a long way away from the preacher. That way, he could sleep while the preacher was preaching. That way he wouldn't have to listen while the preacher was preaching. But the preacher still kept on a preaching. Now, I'm saying tonight, you need preaching. Somebody say amen. I'm saying tonight, you need the man of God to take the word of God, and you need for him to get up and beller. And I don't care if it's long time preaching. Bless God, you need long time preaching. This day and time with this California junk where they come along and now they're lecturing and it's a Bill Hybels type of a service and a Rick Warren type of a service. I thank God for pastors like Ray Ramirez whose head is slick as a cue ball who'll get up and preach hell, fire, damnation. Hey folks, he baptized 5,500 so far this year. We don't need less preaching, we need more preaching. So guess what he did? He sat in a dangerous place. A third loft. Can you imagine? On a windowsill. Preaching till midnight. Man, if I'd have yawned, I'd have jumped down and went down where everybody else was. But not him. He sat in a dangerous place. Now be careful where you sit in your life. People are not being careful about where they place their life. I sat at the feet of John R. Rice. I sat on the front row. You go with me in these conferences and you'll see me sitting on the front row. I don't want to sit. Now, if you got to sit in the back in the balcony and the building's full like it is tonight, you have no choice. I understand that. But bless God, if you're the first one here, there ought not be an empty seat in front of you. And you ought to be sitting down close to... Come on, somebody say amen. Brother, you need to get some of this Holy Spirit on you. You won't fall asleep if you're sitting on the front. So he sat in a dangerous place. I sat at the feet of Jack Hiles. I've known him for 25 years now. Now thank God for it, Brother Bowen. I'll hear him. Listen, you're crazy for not coming to this conference Monday, Tuesday night. You got a man of God. Listen, he's had a million. He's the only Baptist pastor that's had a million souls walk the aisles professing faith in Christ. And you're going to hear him tomorrow night and Tuesday night. What they do? They sat in a dangerous place. You sit home tomorrow night and flip that crazy television set and you watch Baywatch with a bunch of naked women on it and watch a bunch of junk on television and flip those. Somebody say amen. You're going to wreck your life. That's what you're going to do. Sitting in a dangerous place. I sat at the feet of Lester Roloff. I didn't sit in a dangerous place there. Brother Roloff, my oldest daughter, Kimberly, she doesn't know a stranger at all. Not at all. Brother Roloff, and she was a teenager. Brother Roloff sitting down here getting ready to preach. And she leaned over and said to him, "Are you nervous?" Brother Roloff, 60-some years of age, been preaching for 40 years, said, "Are you nervous?" He looked at her and said, "No, darling, I'm not nervous." Then she thought for a minute. She looked at his outline and said, "How long have you been studying for this sermon? How long have you been preparing for this sermon?" And Brother Roloff looked at her and said, "My whole life." Now, you listen to me. One of these days, you're going to be saying, "I used to hear Jack Hiles." Now, here you see them. This young man sitting in a dangerous place. I like where Mary sat. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. I like where the Gadarene demoniac sat after he got his mind and clothed. He sat at the feet of Jesus. Now, you'll end up in a mixed multitude if you don't watch it. Don't you sit, young people, at the feet of the acid rock stars. Don't you sit at the feet of the rap music stars. Don't you sit at the feet of... Somebody ought to be saying amen now. Don't you sit at the feet of the rock and roll stars, country and western stars, the Hollywood whores, and the TV stars. You sit at the feet of Christ. That's where you ought to be sitting. Young people, your countenance tells off on you. I stopped a young man walking down the hall. I said, "What's the matter with you?" Young man, "Hey, quit talking." "Hey, shut up! You're in church. Now you sit there and you be quiet." "Son, hey son, nothing funny about it." I looked at him and said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "Nothing." And it wasn't but a few weeks later, he came into office and said, I'm listening to the wrong kind of music. By the way, he wants to get right with God and I commend him for it. But you can't fool us adults. You can't fool us. Look, I say, I almost read your mind. The way your countenance looks. And you teenagers, don't fool with that stuff. It'll wreck your life. Don't fool with it. Man, you'll end up on dope. You'll end up wrecking your life, having to get married and have children outside of wedlock. Your life will be wrecked and ruined. Don't do it. Girls, it's not worth giving your body to somebody that wants to use you for a night but doesn't want to keep you for a lifetime. And these bums come back. They don't want somebody like you. They want somebody clean and pure, and they'll just use you. Why don't you stay clean and pure? Don't sit at the feet of the Hollywood whores. You're sitting at the feet of the wrong people. And your face tells off on you. Moms and dads, let me give you an assignment tonight. Go home and clean out the bedroom. Every mom and dad ought to go home to your kid's bedroom, pick up the mattress, open the drawers, chest of drawers, look at what's on the walls. And I promise you, if your kid's causing you trouble, he's listening to the wrong thing, he's looking at the wrong thing, and you ought to have a room check. You ought to have a room check. I forget which one of my kids it was. One of them came. Mrs. Gray read their notes. They had the audacity to read their mail. And one of the kids came to me and said, I don't think that's right. That Mama read the notes and letters. Now, first place, they didn't go to Mama because they was afraid of her. But they came to me and all they got was support for Mama. And I said, you listen, as long as you stay in this house, put your feet under my table, and I feed your little face, and I put clothes on that little chunky body of yours, as long as you live in this house, we'll read everything we can get our hands on. Buddy, these girls have got letters from boys, and you dads ought to find out about it. Get inside of those drawers, chest of drawers, open those things, go through their clothes, find the letters, and read it, and read it, and read it, and read it. Who do you kids think you are? You got a Bill of Rights? Boy, I wish you'd have had my daddy. Crazy. TV's ruining our kids. Hollywood's ruining our kids. And running with the wrong crowd's ruining them. Let me give you another thought, moms and dads. Don't let the kids spend time alone. If that kid heads right straight to that bedroom and shuts the door, you go open the door. Let me give you another tip. He shouldn't have a television set in his bedroom. Let me give you another tip. He shouldn't have a headset with a radio put on his ears either. Somebody say amen. You say, preacher, what's this got to do with the sermon? Hey, here's a guy that sat in a dangerous place, and I'm trying to keep you from sitting in a dangerous place. Now, when you sit away from the crowd, you'll fall asleep. You'll get dulled. But when you come to a church like this, this is exciting. You thought I was going up in a balcony a minute ago, didn't you? I thought about it. There ain't no telling what I'll do. I can't wait to see what I'll do next. I said, number one, he sat in a dangerous place. Number two, he sat away from the rest of them. He not only sat in a dangerous place, but Brother Bob, he sat away from the rest of them. I worry about you folks who want to go to the back of the bus on a teen activity and don't want to be with the other kids. He sat away from the rest of them. I wonder about you folks that don't like to come to a Monday night or Tuesday night when you got a guest speaker like Dr. Hiles. I wonder about you. I wonder about you. Sacrifice, get here, it's worth it. So what did he do? He sat away from... You know, it's hard to say amen when you've been a cussing. You know, it's hard to say amen when the people around you know how you're really living. It's hard to say amen when you got HBO hooked up to your living room. Well, Pastor, I have it hooked up just for the fights. Yeah, sure you do. Yeah, my name's Pinocchio. What's the matter with you, boy? Flesh is flesh. I don't care whether it's saved flesh or lost flesh, it's still flesh. Oh my, what did he do? He sat away from the rest of them. He was like Peter who followed afar off. I don't want to follow afar off. Bless God, if I'm going to get in this thing, let's get in this thing and do it right. Bless God, if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be the best Christian I can. If I'm going to church, I'm going to go to the best church. I'm not going to run away from this church, find some place that's got a trap set and a drum set and a rock and roll country and western beat for the special. No, sir, I'm going where the best music is. Why don't you fight for the front seats on the lower floor? Why don't you fight for the front seats in the balcony? Why don't you do that? Are you trying to hide? Are you trying to get away from somebody? You may have to say a prayer if you go to eat with them. If they came to your house, I wonder what magazines they'd find on a coffee table. And then we wonder why we're not having revival in America. Don't get mad at me. This is what preachers are supposed to preach. Number three. He had no regard. Number three. He had no regard for fellowship. He had no regard for fellowship. He had no regard for fellowship. He was standing up where the lights were, way up in the ceiling. He was away from them. He didn't want to be near them. And guess what else? He didn't want the fellowship. You fellows and you gals and you come to this church but don't want the fellowship of God's people. I wonder why. Could it be the places you go on Monday night and Tuesday night are not the places that everybody else around here goes to? Come on, somebody help me now. In the Spanish church, you'd, hey boys, hey son, look at me. In the Spanish church, you got people that don't want to fellowship with your people. Something wrong with them. You come to this church and don't want to fellowship with the people in this church, there's something wrong with you. Your fellowship ought to be people of like faith and order. Your fellowship ought to be people who believe the same thing. But kind of hard to do that when your boy's in the soccer league in town. Are you a soccer mom? That's what you are. You can't put your kids in. Look, we preach against shorts on women, but let me tell you something. It's just as wrong for men to have shorts on. Showing those hairy legs of yours. Right, mowing the grass, get all that grass and that hair. You got the ugliest legs in the world, cover them up. That's just as wrong. So why do you put your kid in the soccer league down here and run around in a pair of shorts? Just a thought. See, the reason you're mad at me right now is because you have no regard for fellowship. He did not want to know the others. May I say number four? He wanted to look both ways. He wanted to look both ways. Wake up, get this now. He wanted to look both ways. Now think about it. He's in the windowsill. He's there and he's watching Paul preach, but he's also watching outside. He's sitting in the windowsill and he's watching now. He's watching Paul, got one eye on Paul and one eye on the world. He sat in a place where he could watch both. Now, you'll not produce good kids if you're sitting in the windowsill watching both. Son, put your arms through your shirt. Look like a human being. Put your arms through those shirts. Now, I'm saying tonight, listen, you can't sit here with one eye on God and another eye on the world and expect you to not fall asleep. Now, you're going to fall asleep when you sit in a dangerous place. And you're going to fall asleep when you sit away from the others. You're going to fall asleep when you have no regard for fellowship with God's people. We've got more stuff around here than Carter's got liver pills. Son, we've got basketball leagues. We've got baseball leagues for your kids. We've got this Christmas traps and carols and you name it. And it's here. There's no need for you to go to the world. There's no need. Somebody, I don't like a big church. There's a lot of benefits having a big church. Buddy, you can have your own Christian school. You can have your own youth department with a youth director full time, help you take care of your kids. You can have basketball and baseball. And that's not all. One of these years, we're going to have football too. Now, I'm just simply saying, you better thank... Oh, you mothers don't like that, do you?
Oh, little Junior.
Well, if you keep working with little Junior, he'll have to be fitted for some pantyhose. These kids ought to know how to fight. Defend themselves.
Hey, you're a Christian. You believe in fighting?
Yeah, break into my house and see what I do to you. That's why God made 357s. My wife is a marksman, so you don't want to ever come to my house. Because I tell you what, she'll blow you away and then have prayer. Now, I'm saying he wanted to look both ways. He wanted to hear the preaching, but yet he wanted to see the festive lights of the town. And he wanted to look at the world and yet keep his eyes on the preacher. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Now, I say quickly, number five, he fell into a deep sleep. He fell into a deep sleep. You can't keep your eyes on the world and God without falling into a deep sleep. Now, he fell into a deep sleep. Now, wait a minute now. He could not keep his mind on what the preacher was saying. Because he was trying to keep his mind on what was going outside that window. And because of that, it mesmerized him and he fell into a deep sleep. That's why some of you come here and sit here and stare at me. You know, all we have to do is get a poster cut out of you, a cardboard, and just put it in your pew where you are. Because you look the same no matter what. You never laugh, you never cry, you never say amen, it's just this. Man, I wish you'd get mad, throw a songbook, do something. So what did he do? He fell into a deep sleep. Why? Because you can't keep your mind on God and on the world at the same time. Let's say quickly, number six, he fell while in church. He fell while in church. Well, I'll tell you, I got it made because I'm faithful to church. So wait a minute, he fell in church. You come to church and be sitting here and not hear a word I say. You teenagers are good about it. Sit there and just like that. And your brain is loose because I can hear it rattling. You ain't listening. Truth is, some of you paint an eyeball on your lids and shut your eyelids and try to fool me. But this guy fell into a deep sleep, and he fell while he was in church. You can play in the orchestra and still be in deep sin. You can sing in the choir and still be in deep sin. You can be a deacon in this church and be in deep sin. You can be a preacher, staff member, and be in deep sin. Now, you better listen to me. You better stay awake. You better sit down where the crowd is. You better fellowship. You better holler amen. You better nod your head up and down. You better get you on a bus route. You better get your Bible, start reading it. Hey, I'm saying there is a heaven, there is a hell, and people out there are going to die and go to hell if you don't wake up and get busy for God. I say quickly, number seven, God gave him another chance. God gave him another chance. I love it, I love it, I love it. God gave him another chance. He fell asleep, fell down, died. Paul went down, brought him back to life. How'd he do it? Mouth resuscitation? I hope not. You'll have to forgive me. If one of you guys lay here and croak and then somebody says, give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, you can forget it. Now, me and my wife will have mouth-to-mouth recreation, but we ain't going to have a... But is my face red? Speaking of that... I love cinnamon. Now, huh? What? What? You want to kiss him? Oh. So, where was I? God gave him another chance. You're sitting here today and you say, preacher, I've really blown it in my life. It's not over. God wants to use you again. Oh, I wish I could get you to understand that. I don't care. The devil's lying to you. He said to you, we've done some bad things and you can't serve God again. That's not true. That's a lie. Here's a guy, sat in the window, didn't like, he was as much in love with the world as he was the preaching. He was as much in love with the sitcoms on television as he was with the preaching, and he sat as far away from the crowd as he could. He sat in a dangerous place. He didn't want to be around the fellowship. He didn't want to be around the people of God, and he sat away, and because of that, he got mesmerized by it. He fell into a deep sleep. He fell down and killed himself. He fell while he was in church, but thank God, God brought him back to life again. Now, what's that mean? God wants to use you again. God wants to use you again. Now you listen to me. There are a lot of people that don't... Look, I don't like these churches that just kick people out and vote people out and excommunicate people out. No, sir. We need every one of you. And now you listen to me. You're stuck with me. I'm your pastor. I don't care what you do. You're stuck with me. You're not getting rid of me. I love you, and I don't care what you do. I'm going to help you get back on your feet again. Well, somebody say amen. Mark, my son-in-law, said to me, he said, Preacher, I... No, it was Kim said to me. He said, you know what Mark did? Mark took a couple bus kids, teenagers, under his wing. I mentioned it here. I said, everybody here ought to find somebody that you don't know and find out what their name is. And you ought to love them. They shouldn't be just a face in the crowd. It ought to be somebody that you know. So these kids, Mark and Kim, decided they were going to find out their names, find out where they're from. And they've been sitting with Kim and Mark in the services. And the kids have been good and been taking notes. So they bought some fancy notebook deals, take some notes in. Last Sunday night was the first night they had them. So sat in the balcony with their notebooks and their pens. And I got up and said, shut your notebooks up. Put your pens up. There'll be no notes taken tonight. And those poor guys, they couldn't understand it. They just got their notebook pads. Now, somebody ought to do that around here. Well, say, I know somebody stole something out of a purse. You women ought to hold on to your purse, and you men, too, ought to hold on to your purse. But if you was raised like they was raised, you'd be doing the same thing, too. Now, somebody say amen. I'm a little sick and tired of this Ku Klux Klan attitude that gets into our church every once in a while. Listen, red, yellow, black, or white, it doesn't make any difference. They are still precious in God's sight. Somebody ought to care. Somebody ought to love. Now listen to me. Please listen to me. Your eyes are wandering out in outer space. Listen to me. You've fallen asleep, aren't you? Be careful. It's dangerous. Why don't you tonight, those of you who think you've wrecked your life, come down to this altar. Give your life back to God again and say, God, I'm yielding myself to you. You think you're bad. I know everybody here just about. And you're feeling sorry for the guy sitting next to you. I know all about him. Don't feel bad. Your life's not near as bad as his life. All of us have things in our life we wish we could do away with. But what you've got to realize is that if you fall into a deep sleep and you die in service for God, you can still come, hit the altar, and get right with God and get back up and go after it. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.